Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Okay, today's lesson is all about Noah and Lot. This is for you prophecy buffs. Hope you like it. In Luke 17, it says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Now, Christ used two examples for us to discern the coming of the Son of Man, Noah and Lot, specifically the days of Noah and the days of Lot. They both have something in common, and they also have important differences. Let's consider both of them and what it means for us. First, what did they share in common? Well, both of them were called righteous by the Lord. You can see Genesis 7:1 and 2 Peter 2:7. Both of them had families, and both of them, along with their families, were delivered miraculously by God from catastrophe. Both of them were ostracized by the society in which they lived, and both showed their desperate need for God's grace and mercy. You can see Genesis 9:20-27 and Genesis 19:30-36. Now, for both of them, God's judgment on the society came suddenly, and the populace was clueless. And in both instances, the judgment on the society, as it says, destroyed them all. But now, what about the differences? We can note differences in the scriptures that describe the days of Noah and the days of Lot, and we can note the distinctions between them in the verses above in which Jesus instructed his followers. We can see that the society in which Noah lived before the catastrophe was filled with sexual immorality and ubiquitous violence. Genesis 6 says, "Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose." In 6 it also says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." Now, Lot's society in Sodom had become so perverse that the men craved to have sex with the angels that came to save him. You can see Genesis 19:5. In addition, they had become so wealthy that they were filled with pride, laziness, and lost all compassion. Let's read Ezekiel 16:49. It says, "Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom." He's speaking to Jerusalem. "She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." So now, what about the opening verses that I read? What are the distinctions, and do they have any relevance to us? Well, first, for Noah's day, Christ focused on the marital relations, which is code, if you would, for sex. For Lot's days, Jesus alluded to their business dealings. We should also note that Noah was saved in the midst of judgment, whereas Lot was saved out of judgment. So why did Christ use the two men and the two judgments along with their similarities and distinctions? I'll suggest that it is because there will be two groups of people God's people who will be saved from or in the midst of catastrophe in the last days. Who are these two groups? One group will be snatched up when Christ comes for his bride, the church. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And in 1 Thessalonians 4, we read, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." With them, the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way and will cease restraining evil in this world. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, that is the Holy Spirit, who now restrains, will do so until he is taken out of the way." Christ warned this group. "Likewise," he said, "as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built." And he added from Luke 21, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpected. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." It's out of Luke 21, 34 through 36. And then in Revelation 7, another group is born soon after the first group is taken. It says, "Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was granted, to harm the earth and the sea, saying, 'Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.' And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel, they were sealed." Now note, the children of Israel means children of Israel. And sealed means anointed or empowered with the Holy Spirit. Yes, after the dispensation of the church age is concluded, God's attention returns to his chosen people. And as the Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "For I do not desire, brothers, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, 'The deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable.'" It's Romans chapter 11. "Indeed, God is faithful and will save his people even in the midst of tribulation. His anointed remnant," that's what we call him, "will become a massive harvest of souls. For immediately following their sealing that we read about in Revelations, we also read, 'After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." All that from Revelation 7. So there you have it. Lot, representing the mostly Gentile church, is symbolic of the first group. And Noah, representing the children of Israel, their remnant, and their proselytes, is symbolic of the second group. Of course, you might think that we've got the groups reversed, since Christ's warning mentions Noah first and Lot second. However, Jesus also told us in his parable, the workers in the vineyard, so the last will be first, and the first last. That's Matthew 20:16. And the times are imminent, so be sure your heart belongs to Christ. Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust Him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of His grace today.